This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on SiriusXM Channel 371. And you've also got us on an assortment of other radio stations in the ACC footprint. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Wes is scheduled to be back tomorrow on the show. And literally, as we speak, they are teeing off Florida State versus Clemson for the ACC Men's Golf Championship. It is match play, and we will have all your highlights on the show tomorrow for sure. All right, Anish, we do a thing every week on Mondays, the best of and the worst of. And we like to start on a positive note, something upbeat and lifting to get you moving on a Monday and all that stuff. So we're going to start with the best of here on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. And we're going to start with golf. Because on Friday, the match play, of course, is all going on now. But it starts with stroke play. You got three rounds, top four teams to move on, and down the road you go. But North Carolina won the stroke play part of the Men's Golf Championship and was the number one seed. And one of the reasons for it was this guy, Peter Fountain, for North Carolina, shot a 63 on Friday. 63. I don't care who you are, how long you've played, that is low. 63.
I can't even count that high. And for me, 63 is a front nine number. I mean, I'll be honest, my golf game is brutal. 63 is a front nine number on, this is sad, on a typical day.
That's all right. As long as you're out there hitting it, it beats working for a living. But 63 is worth noting. I mean, that's just an incredible, incredible score. But again, North Carolina finishes the number one seed going into match play. They got knocked off by Florida State yesterday. Now, we move on. Paige Petty is on our list. If you're thinking, all right, Pack, who's Paige Petty? Well, guess what? It's lacrosse. And let me tell you something. She puts a six spot in an upset of Virginia. How about that? Six goals for Paige Petty.
You know, we were talking with Dana Boyle earlier. The ACC women's lacrosse field, a little deeper. They've got more teams, but boy, a ton of talent. I mean, it's just like the men. And the ACC is the lacrosse capital of college sports right now, men and women. It's unbelievable how much talent is concentrated in that one league on both sides.
The next item is a person who will appear on this program in 23 minutes, and that's Jacob Faub, who, by the way, just went nuts, right? You mentioned 24 of 27 faceoffs, completely dominated, and Jacob will appear on our program coming up here at 9:30 a.m. What a weekend.
The most impressive part of that was who he dominated. Because Virginia's primary faceoff man, a kid by the name of Petey Lasala, I thought going into the game was a first-team All-American. And he had been cleaning up against all the other ACC faceoff guys the last three, four games. And the ACC's got some of the best faceoff guys in the country. Faub had been struggling. I mean, he was 21% since the first Virginia game in conference games. And all of a sudden, his mom's in the stands, and we'll ask him about that. That's a big deal for him. He comes, and he plays the game of his life, and he was the reason Syracuse won that game and may have salvaged its season.
We'll rapid fire this because we got so many positives here. Also on Friday, UNC's field hockey team played Wake Forest, and this was for the automatic qualifier in the NCAAs. We got a little bonus time here. I think one of our true and false questions last week was, could Wake Forest score more than one goal? The answer was true, presented by Dish. But North Carolina takes care of business, and there she is again, Erin Mattson, greatest of all time. She is just spectacular. And so congratulations to North Carolina. They get the automatic qualifier in a thriller against Wake Forest. That was on Friday afternoon. We'll zip through these real quick. Louisville softball team. You get some love today. Why? Because you snapped Florida State's 16-game win streak. 16 straight. By the way, that series ended in a tie, though, Anish. We'll get to that later on in the program. But Florida State had been playing lights out, continued to, but winning streak comes to an end. Lacrosse has been front and center, and given your background, Syracuse had a pretty good weekend on both the men's and the women's side.
Yeah, both the men and women came up with big wins. You know, the women beat Boston College, and, you know, the women are down two of their top players, which is impressive. The men had been blown out in their previous two losses in conference, both at home, Notre Dame and UNC. They go on the road against a Virginia team that had been playing well, and Virginia hardly had the ball in that first half. Syracuse, I just thought, being shorthanded, their top goal scorer was suspended. You mentioned Faup. I'll be curious to talk to him. And we have to ask him, like, what happened? You lose by 12 goals at home the weekend before, and then in the span of a week you come out and you play one of your best games of the year. What changed? So we'll ask Faup when we see him.
Coming up in 20 minutes. Speaking of win streaks, we mentioned this leading off the show today. Clemson softball, 17 straight for the Lady Tigers. They do it in dramatic fashion. They sweep NC State over the weekend. I mean, goodness gracious, year two of the program, and the Tigers are just getting the job done. 17 in a row. Ridiculous. We also mentioned Danny Hall.
Running roughshod.
Yeah, they've been really great. I mean, Cagle's been such a great story, too. We mentioned this earlier, too. Danny Hall's on our list. His 1,300th career win at Georgia Tech. And big series. Florida State ends up winning the series. Georgia Tech won yesterday to salvage a game. But win number 1,300 for Danny Hall, who's done really a remarkable job in Atlanta. So congratulations to Coach on that front. We'll zip through these real quick. UNC women's tennis, we mentioned earlier, they win some hardware over the weekend. They win the ACC championship. They're now 26-0 on the season. 26 up, zip down. They've won 15 consecutive matches in the ACC tournament. And for the Tar Heels, Brian Kalbas, championship number 6 for him. Pretty impressive. Well, we got women's tennis on the
brand. They keep rolling.
Go ahead, Anish. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I say they keep rolling. Number one team in the country. It just seems like the ACC championship is a precursor of what's to come for the UNC women.
Could very well be. They had great success with the indoors. Now the Tar Heels trying to take care of business on the hard courts. It wasn't just the women that celebrated a championship. The men's title was determined, and it was won by the University of Virginia. The Hoos win the championship, as you mentioned earlier, Anish, 13th time in their incredible program. But for Coach Pedroso, his first as the head coach at Virginia, he won a ton when he was playing for Duke. But congratulations to the men at the University of Virginia. We talked about the catchers in this league, too, when it comes to baseball, and you were rattling through the list of at least four tremendous catchers. Florida State's got one. And he's going yard. It seems like he goes yard all the time because Nelson's been unbelievable.
Matt Nelson, 16 home runs now for Florida State. That is their single season record in this new BB Corps bat era. 16 home runs puts him in the national lead, too, I believe. He was right up there with Young and Wes Clark. So, that's a big deal. Matt Nelson is one of the top catchers in all of college baseball. He may not be the top catcher, though, however, in the ACC. That's probably Henry Davis of Louisville. It speaks to the catching depth in this league.
More best of the weekend. We had a pair of sweeps on the diamond. I mentioned earlier that Clemson took care of business, sweeping Wake Forest. Really important for Monty Lee's club to kind of get back into winning ways. They've really been struggling here the last couple weeks. That was a sweep, and also you're going to see some highlights here. Clemson taking care of business against Wake Forest. That was a good baseball, softball weekend, right? Women take care of business. Men take care of business. All good news. Beautiful weather down there in the upstate of South Carolina. Beautiful curve there. Catch you later. See you. Take a seat. Ball game. Monty Lee and the boys. That's a W. So Clemson sweeps Wake Forest on that front. That wasn't the only sweep I mentioned. NC State. NC State had a tremendous weekend, too. All of a sudden, next thing you know, goodness gracious, here comes the Wolfpack. We kind of highlighted this last week where, you know what, watch out. If you have to park your cars in the outfield, these two teams can pound it. NC State pounded Virginia Tech. Take care of business. Elliot Avent on the winning side on that standpoint, and they take care of business. A shout-out, too, to the Florida State men's basketball program. They graduated 10 players over the weekend. 10. How about that? Leonard Hamilton, unconquered in the classroom and on the court. Congrats to our 10 Seminole graduates. That's what it's all about, man. Right there. Get your degree and you're good to go. How about that? Leonard, I keep telling you, man, Leonard's building a program down there. Yeah, they win a bunch of games, but they're doing it right in the classroom as well. And finally, something I believe that was just announced, the Atlantic Coast Conference commissioner, Jim Phillips, has just allowed and said, guess what? Jim Clements, president of Clemson University, you are going to serve on the college football playoff as the board of managers part, right? So President Clements, who I know is going to be really, really busy next week as he has 12 graduation ceremonies to preside over. He's also going to preside over the college football playoff board of managers. He will replace President Thatcher, President Thrasher from Florida State. So that was just literally announced moments ago by the ACC. So President Clements, put one more thing on the list to do, and that's a very, very important deal. So John Thrasher's done such a great job at Florida State, stepping down. Jim Clements will take over in that role. So there you go. That's the best of the weekend. When we return, we'll find a niche, and we'll find out the worst of the weekend. And that'll lead into Jacob Fopp, who's coming up here at the bottom of the hour, talk a little Syracuse men's lacrosse. So worst of the weekend is next on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, right here on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. This is Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham, Anish filled in for Wes, 844-SAY-ACCN. All right, so we gave you the good news, the best of the weekend. Unfortunately, we have to give you the flip side. That's the worst of the weekend. And we start with baseball with a team that's been absolutely terrific, and that would be Notre Dame. And Notre Dame actually won the series. However, it got off to an ugly start on Friday when they took on Boston College. 10-0, Notre Dame. And that is so uncharacteristic of the way the Irish have been playing in these. They have been one of the best stories nationally. Notre Dame taking care of business as a top 10 team, wins another series.
Yeah, you know, that was a rough start for Notre Dame. They bounced back, win the next two games. This is still a team that is likely to be a regional host. And you're right. I mean, they were looked at as a sleeper and a dark horse in the ACC, a potential tournament team. Nobody saw this coming, where right now they've been the most consistent team in the league all season.
No question. All right. Again, this is the worst of the weekend. Virginia lacrosse, they had better days, both the men and the women. Tough weekend.
I mean, let me start with the men. They just couldn't get the ball. Syracuse played keep away with winning all the faceoffs, and that was shocking. Petey LaSala, Virginia's faceoff man, who's been as good as anybody this season, he's faced some of the best faceoff guys in the country. He has won almost every matchup. He goes 1-for-16. I'm still trying to process that. And you know, the reality is, like, Virginia still had a chance to win that game at the end. Boy, you know what's – here's the tough part for Virginia, the men now. They don't play again in the regular season. So the first round of the NCAA tournament, May 15th, 16th, the ACC gives you 15 games that you can schedule. And I love Lars Tiffany, but he botched this one. They had 14 regular season games in a scrimmage, which counts. So they now go 3 weeks – between games, and their next game is a win or go home.
Anish getting on Lars' case. He didn't like that move.
No, I love Lars. Listen, Lars is my guy.
That's awesome.
Lars is my guy, but he knows he messed that one up with the scheduling.
I know this, that anytime Virginia and Virginia Tech play, it's a big deal. And Virginia Tech's ladies take care of business, upset the Hoos. Those stink. Those in-state losses to the rival, those stink. Speaking of Virginia Tech, though, tough weekend for the softball team. They took on Notre Dame four times. They went L, 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 L. And the Hokies have really been playing terrific softball this year. But that was a tough weekend now. There was nothing fun about what happened in Blacksburg for the ladies. So Notre Dame, nice job. WWWW. About that. All right.
I don't know if this is a spoiler alert, but it didn't go so well for Virginia Tech baseball either.
True. I mean, that was a tough weekend. NC State with the sweep on the men's side. Virginia Tech softball was not pretty this weekend either. Florida State, Georgia Tech, we told you in baseball, they hooked up this weekend. Big weekend for Danny Hall with the W yesterday. But I'll tell you what now, everybody says, hey, well, what's the weather going to be like there in Atlanta? Well, sometimes it can be goofy. How about a hailstorm? How about we play some baseball in hail? Some ominous clouds there, right? That didn't look good. No, we're not going for that. Catch you later. Nothing like a little hail to straighten you out.
A hailstorm, pack. A hailstorm. I mean, we're playing baseball in a hailstorm. I think it was Mike Monaco from the ACC Network tweeted out a picture or video, something along those lines. And the visual was just jarring. Man, you're playing in this?
Get your batting helmet. Let's go. Go out there and take some grounders. Louisville and Florida State, women's softball. Game ends in a tie. Anish, I don't think that tie, there should be no such thing ever in sports. We should never have a tie. There should never, ever be a tie. You got to play till somebody wins. I don't care how long it is. It's what you signed up to do. I hate ties. Everything about it.
We need a czar of sports to outlaw all ties. It is communist. It is communist. Like, there are winners and losers, right? A tie is communist. Joe McCarthy would be furious right now. Joe McCarthy would have scheduled a hearing if he found out a game ended in a tie.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, and that tie, ironically, by Florida State allowed Clemson to pass them in the standings based on percentages. I mean, we're here. We're playing. Let's play, right? Let's get this thing win, lose, but no tie. I don't get it. But we had one. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I will say the only time that I root for a tie, and I kind of do it as a joke, is when NFL games go into overtime, I do actively root for a tie because it's kind of like, are you going to have a system that gives you a chance to have a tie? Then you know what? You should be punished for it. Then let's have a tie. Let's make the schedule and the standings look awkward. And hopefully you fix it down the road. But that is the only time I actively root for a tie.
I don't even do that. I mean, I just want somebody to win a game. That's why we play. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Wake Forest men's golf program is on our list this week. We just had Jerry Haas on the show last week. And we gave you a stat that Wake Forest men's golf, again, as proud a tradition as there is, they've not won an ACC title since 1989. Now, you heard me, 1989, which is hard to believe. And Wake Forest ranked fifth in the country. Great program. Always a great program. Did not qualify for the match play. Florida State got the last spot in stroke play. So Wake Forest streak continues of not being able to close the deal in the ACC golf tournament, which, by the way, Florida State, Clemson playing right now as we speak. And again, Wes and I will cover that tomorrow with whoever becomes the victor. But that's kind of a crazy deal. Speaking of golf, we mentioned that Peter Fountain from North Carolina was on our best of the weekend, shooting a 63 on Friday. Just to show you how fickle this sport is, as tremendous as he was, he goes low medalist. We go into match play yesterday, North Carolina against Florida State. He gets waxed 5-4. That is golf, right? I mean, you could go lights out for 3 days and you have a match. The guy you played makes everything he looks at. You go home. And that's what happened to Peter Fountain in North Carolina. That's golf, Anish. No ties.
A good walk spoiled, or I think as I've heard it described, A series of tragedies obscured by the occasional miracle.
That's one way to put
it. That's golf.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. There's no doubt about that. That is one way to put it. But golf, and listen, match play is totally different. You just never know. You can make a 10 on one hole. All right, you're still one down. Next time you go birdie, birdie, you're up one up. So, I mean, it's just that's golf. So Peter Fountain lived the highs and the lows from the weekend. And finally, the last of the worst of the weekend, unfortunately, involves me. Indirectly. Coach Collin said he was going to do it, and he did. He got fat heads of me and Wes and Commissioner Phillips and others. There we go. There I am playing the three technique and not doing a very good job of it. So I would have to say I was the weak link between Roddy Jones, Wes Durham, and Commissioner Phillips. I am the weak link playing the three technique with that big old fat head right there. And I don't think Jeff Sims was worried about that defensive line at all. And I mean, zero concerns.
They were running right at you.
Yeah, yeah. That defensive line. Sims could have gone ahead and ordered some Waffle House and double dip at the varsity, and he'd have been completely safe. All right, there you go. The best of the weekend, the worst of the weekend. But when we return, we've mentioned this guy's name a few times today on the show. Jacob Faulk joins us, and an amazing story. He's got an incredible story, but he's also coming off a big, huge win because Cuse needed against Virginia. We will discuss it with Jacob as he makes his debut on Packer and Durham. Anish filling in for Wes. Again, we're presented by New York Life, and you got us right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. You are watching Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham continues on a Monday morning. All right, Anish, our next guest makes his debut on the show, and we talked about what a big weekend it was for Syracuse across both the men and the women. Men in particular, because they really, really needed to beat Virginia, and they did. And one of the reasons for it is our next guest. Jacob Faulk joins us, and let's get Jacob up here front and center. Jacob, first of all, good morning. We appreciate you joining the show. So just how big was that win this weekend for your team?
It was a huge win. Coming off two big losses in the ACC and just having kind of going back to ground zero at practice and going through the basics and whatnot and knowing that we can beat really any team in the country and hang with them, was a huge chip on our shoulder, like weight lifted off our shoulders, and I feel like we're back to our old self.
Jacob, the first time you played Virginia, you had a great game, and then you went into a little bit of a slump and then played an amazing game this past weekend. Face-offs, that position, I know it's so mentally taxing. Can you describe what that was like for you mentally these last few weeks, this last month?
Yeah, the past couple weeks have definitely been tough. Mentally, not seeing myself win a face-off. I mean, I won two face-offs in the past 2 weeks against Duke and Notre Dame. And knowing that you can play, knowing that you're capable of playing better than you are is really tough because I didn't feel comfortable out there. I had no confidence in myself. But having the coaches trust, have the trust in me and my teammates just to keep telling me, oh, you're going to come back. You're going to get it. Just trust yourself was a huge confidence booster. But, yeah, it was definitely tough during that little funk.
Jacob, for folks who have not played lacrosse, when you're at the face-off like that, is there trash talking going on, or is it quiet?
Very quiet. I've really never been talked any trash or talked trash myself to anybody. It's just kind of worrying about the whistle and what you're going to do yourself. For me personally, if I'm talking trash, I'm probably not going to be hearing the whistle or be worrying about what I'm going to do too much.
Jacob, what did it mean to have your mom in attendance in Charlottesville this weekend?
It's huge. I always say my mom's like my everything. She's like my safety blanket. Whenever she's around, I feel like at home. I feel comfortable. Excuse me. Before every single face-off, I take a peek at her, and it calms me down. She, the eye contact is, her being there just is means everything in the world to me. Especially to drive from Pennsylvania to UVA.
And I just want to follow up with that, too. Given the highs and lows of this season in particular, which we talked to actually during the break for folks that don't know, how comforting is it to know that mom always has the right answer?
Ah, she always has the right answers. It's wonderful. Just like going to her and calling her. And even like after the Duke and Notre Dame game, we didn't even talk about the game. Like we just talked about like, hey, how's school's going? And she's like, hey, like, these are just a couple bad games. Like, you know what you're capable of. Just keep trusting in yourself and keep doing your thing. It will come. Time will show.
Jacob, for folks who don't know your backstory, why is your mom such a larger-than-life figure in your life?
So being brought up, I never was introduced to my dad. So my mom brought me up since day one. And going through elementary school, it was kind of tough because everybody had that father figure in their life. And it was I always thought, like, oh, like, why me? Why don't I have a father? And then it kind of turned into, like, heck yeah, like, my mom's doing both sides, the father side and the mom side of it. And it's really turned me into, it's really made this journey even more special because you're hearing, oh, like single parent kids are never going to make it. He won't graduate high school. And my mom's turned me into a great man. And it's just, it means so much to me just to see me succeed and mainly succeed because of my mom's done such a good job raising me.
If you don't mind me asking, what did she tell you after the game?
She just came, gave me like a huge hug and smiled and just like kind of picked her arms up and was like, I told you so. And I was like, yeah, you're right. She goes, all you got to do is trust yourself and listen to mom.
You're right. Always right.
Mom always knows.
Oh, yeah.
Always knows. Jacob, was that the first game that she was able to attend in person this year?
No, she went to the first game she was able to go to was UNC, I believe.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Oh, so it's only really been these last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Hey, Jacob, if she went to that North Carolina game, I watched that game. I'm surprised she came back. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. You guys stunk it up that day. I gotta be honest with you.
It was definitely a tough one, but hey, look at us now.
That's it. That's exactly right. And by the way, with that said, the win against Virginia really did kind of put you guys now in a position with Notre Dame coming up next. It's a little bit more clarity, right? I mean, that's why that game was so important over the weekend to get the W.
Yeah, definitely. Just to see, like, I talk to say it's like a little, like, just like a pep in our step. Just to see, like, simply as, like, seeing shots go in, just seeing us do what we know we can do. Like on the defensive side, knowing we can stop guys from getting to the goal and dodging down the alley and just, like, seeing our offense do what we all know we can do. Like, our wings doing a great job. Porter, like, doing his thing. Like, it was, everything was clicking. We felt like ourselves again. And you could see on the sideline, you can see it in practice. Everybody's had, like, a little pep in their step. It's been nice.
Yeah, you guys got Notre Dame coming up this weekend. What did you learn from the first meeting against those guys?
I mean, they're a good team. It's gonna be a great battle. They got a great defense. Their offense seems to be clicking pretty well. They got a great offensive unit, but we're up to the challenge. I mean, they came in against in the dome and really smacked us around. So it's gonna be nice to get a little revenge back, and we're feeling good, and we're all excited to play them.
Now, and Anish, of course, a vet with lacrosse, and I'm kind of a newbie with this thing, Jacob. But one thing I think everybody, that even if they're just a layman with the sport, they understand the tradition and history, which is Syracuse lacrosse and what it means. What was the most appealing thing for you when you said, you know what, Syracuse is the place for me?
I mean, just the tradition. I mean, no one has more national championships in the country than us. I mean, the dominance that we've had throughout the course of the year. I mean, you think of lacrosse, the first thing that comes to mind is Syracuse. When when you talk about lacrosse with me. And the family here is second to none. When I stepped on campus the first day, the seniors and upperclassmen took me in like I was one of their brothers. And when we say family, we really mean it. We had just the alumni around us that comes in and really cares for us. I mean, I really don't think you can beat the love and compassion that we have in our locker room and throughout the whole community of Syracuse lacrosse.
Jacob, earlier in the show, Pack was telling us about how he's really gotten into lacrosse, and you see elements from so many other sports, whether it's basketball or hockey. You have a wrestling background. How does that wrestling background help you? Because you have it's a specialized position, face-offs. How does wrestling help you as a face-off guy?
Well, I turn wrestling into the idea, like, face-offs is like that's one-on-one. You have another guy in front of you, and it's the same thing as wrestling. Like, it's simple. Like, after you're done a wrestling match, like, you know who won. Like, the score says right there, he beat so-and-so by X amount of points. Face-offs, it's the same thing. Like, either you're going to show up today, and you're either going to win the face-offs, or you're going to lose. And it's front and center, and that's something that I like about it. It's something that can sometimes bites you in the butt. But wrestling, it's a grind out kind of mentality. It's interesting because the ball is always bouncing around and it's very technical. And I really enjoy the battle of it. The idea that, like I said again, like one man against another man and you duke it out and see who's going to win at the end of the day.
Jacob, take your team out of this answer. But who's the most difficult team to play in this conference?
Most difficult team to play. I mean, that one's a tough one, especially this year. I mean, everybody's beating somebody. Everybody's losing. You have no idea what's going to happen. The difficult team, most difficult team to play right now, I'd say Notre Dame.
Are you saying that because they're next and you're being smart, or are you saying that because you believe that?
I believe that. I think they got a really good defense. Their offense is clicking right now. I mean, and they look solid. I think them playing back-to-back ACC games kind of this weekend hurt them just because they were probably banged up. But I would say they're definitely one of the tougher teams to play in the ACC.
All right. I want to finish off our interview with our traditional question. And since you're making your debut, we can ask this to you. Since you've been at Syracuse, what has been your most difficult class?
I would definitely have to say epidemiology. That class kicked my butt, so for sure.
What's that? Give me the lowdown on that. Why was that one taking you to the woodshed?
So it was like a coding class for public health, and like it was on Zoom, and I don't know. I knew nothing about coding. Like I had no idea how to do it. It was just so, I couldn't follow the class well, and I was so lost. It was so bad. It was really bad.
Did you get through it, or did we drop it?
We had to drop it. It was pretty bad.
Total transparency. I love it.
I'll tell you what, Jacob, from an alum, Geology 101 is an instant GPA boost. Keep that in mind. Geology
yes.
101.
I took that.
Oh, okay. So you're ahead of the game.
I am ahead of the game. I am.
Anish being a Syracuse guy, just helping out. Hey, we're here to help out. That's what we're trying to do. Just get everybody
always,
through that
always.
Bad boy. Well, listen, congratulations on all your success. Stay healthy. Best of luck this week against Notre Dame. But, man, what a crazy year it's been.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Jacob. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Jacob.
So you didn't have that class, Anish? Huh? I'm assuming you didn't see that one. That one didn't. No.
No. The hardest one for me was a statistics class, and it got to the point where I think my final grade was a D, and you know this is again the hubris. At the end of the semester, I said, "Hey, let me see if I can go meet with my professor and." You know, get my grade up a couple of points, maybe get that C minus. So I go into his office and I say, "Hey, I just want to check about my grade or whatever." And he, you know, pulls up a sheet and he looks down and he's like, "Yeah, well, actually, you failed, but I gave you the 2 points." I'm like, "Okay, have a nice summer." Just get out of there.
Don't get greedy. Let's just get the D and move on. Yeah. There's nothing to see here.
Let's move on.
I love it. That's what we're getting ready to do. We're going to move on to the final segment of the show, where we give you the top plays of the weekend. And there's a bunch of them, all right? Top plays of the weekend. All that is coming up next here on Packer and Durham. Got my man Anish Shroff. He is filling in for West Durham, taking care of business. And just a also a reminder that tomorrow night, the huddle. That's right, the huddle featured. They're going to look back at some of the best and the most memorable stories that have made the soon-to-be ACC NFL draftees so successful, both on and off the field. That's at 9:30 Eastern time right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Again, that's tomorrow night, the huddle. Check it out, featured. Check out some of your all-time stars. NFL draft coming up on Thursday and all weekend long. Quick break, we come back. Top plays are next. Right here on Packer and Durham. Again, Anish filling in for Wes. You guys on ACC Network as we continue to stream live on that ESPN app. So pick up a chair, pull it up, sit down with us. We got 15 more minutes. We'll take good care of you right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Final segment of a busy, busy Monday. Again, Clemson, Florida State, ACC Men's Golf Championship match play underway as we speak. We will address all that tomorrow on the program when Wes returns. All right, Anish, we got the plays of the weekend, top plays of the weekend. A little bit of everything here. We're going to lead off with a little football. And a guy you're going to hear a bunch about this summertime and into the fall, that'd be Sam Howell of the University of North Carolina. Wasn't the most beautiful day in Chapel Hill to play football, but it doesn't matter when number seven slinging it. And here he is, the Josh Downs right over the shoulder. Piece of cake. Kid's a big-time player, man.
That's midseason form. I wouldn't even call him Heisman dark horse. I mean, he's on the Heisman shortlist going into the season.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. And Downs look good catching the football, too, even in wet conditions. Speaking of tossing the football over the yard, Phil Jakovic was pretty good last year. The transfer from Notre Dame. And, boy, Jeff Hafley's glad he's got him, and he's got him back. And look out, that man, Zay Flowers, you kidding me? This dude made catches all season long. He was a wide receiver U nominee every week. And there he is, man, doesn't matter. Springtime, he's still getting the job done.
Jeff Hafley last year, 6-5 with BC as a first-year head coach, no spring ball, takes over a team during a pandemic. Bunch of guys on the roster who he didn't recruit. Had a pretty good season. Now he's got a full offseason and a returning quarterback. Bye, BC. Don't sleep on BC.
Yeah, I said that to you, too, earlier today. I just I'm not going to tell you they're going to win the Atlantic because it all goes through Clemson, South Carolina until proven otherwise. But I don't think anybody's going to be real happy having BC on the schedule. I think Jeff Hafley is a big-time coach, and you can already see the job he did in year one, another year under their belt, and he's a defensive-minded coach. I expect their defense to get better, but, man, offensively, totally different than just lining up in that double tight end set and giving it to a big back and pounding it. They're throwing it all over the yard and look good doing it. We'll continue with football, and we'll take you to Pittsburgh, where guess what? The turnover dunk is alive and well because this was happening, of course, on ACC Network over the weekend and part of our triple header on Saturday. A.J. Woods, thank you very much. I'll take that one, and I know what to do with it. Number one, I catch it. I secure it. It's our ball, and where is the goal? Oh, it's over there? Cool. Bam, dunk. Here you go. Pitt's version right there of the turnover chain. You like that?
Yeah, a little Jerome Lane in there. Jeff Capel needs bodies, so that maybe that's a guy.
Isn't that the truth, right? I mean, well, after what Capel went through with all the transfers and stuff. But I'll be curious to see what Pittsburgh does on the defensive front. They're going to lose some serious dudes coming up this week to the NFL draft. But Pat Narduzzi has always been a tremendous defensive-minded coach. They're going to attack one way or the other. I'll be curious to see how he restocks, refocuses, and gets after people this fall.
Yeah, we saw a little bit in the spring game, right? Corners making plays in the backfield, safeties coming up. Pat Narduzzi has always liked to bring pressure. You lose some really good pass rushers on the outside. You know, they have some talent coming back on the inside of the line. I expect Pitt to light it up. And honestly, this might be a year where Pitt has to win with offense because there's a ton of talent on that side of the ball.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. All right, we take you down to Tiger Town. Valerie Cagle, we lit off the show with her. Clemson softball has been a crazy story. But, man, look at this shot. They said 272. I said that thing landed in Lake Kiawe. If she's not throwing, you know, no hitters left and right, she's hitting it deep. I mean, she is just a superstar is what she's turned into, Valerie Cagle.
And that's why she was walked with the bases loaded in the final inning.
Is that nuts? I mean, seriously, who does that? NC State does that. Valerie Cagle does
that. It backfired.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, you got to come up, you got to have a plan, right? It's like trying to fight Mike Tyson in his day. Everybody's got a plan until you get hit right between the eyes. She is unbelievable. I mean, really, every time Clemson softball plays, Valerie Cagle has become must-watch TV. She's crazy.
No doubt.
All right, we're going to go to Clemson for a little leather flashing. This is Casey Bingham taking care of business because, again, the highlights just don't stop with Miss Cagle. Check this one out. No problem. Bam, got it. Step
Ooh.
Up, cross out, see you later.
Ooh.
Casey Bingham getting the job done. Might be one of the reasons they've won 17 in a row, Anish. They're getting it done on every angle known to man here.
Yeah, hot corner and Casey Bingham right there making a play. It's a web gem.
Oh, you're going old school web gem there. I like that.
Yeah. Are we still doing web gems? We're still doing web gems. Yeah, that's
a web gem. We just did. We just mentioned this guy's name. He's 25 years of age. He was on our show a week ago. He and his better half are expecting their first child coming up here anytime in the month of May. We're going North Carolina men's lacrosse and Justin Anderson with a crazy move for the Heels. How about that move?
You know what that is, Pac? That's dad strength right there. That is dad strength. I mean, fifth year senior, he did a 2-year LDS mission to Chile before coming to North Carolina. His wife, Priscilla, is also the team barber.
Yep.
Hairstylist, I should say.
Right.
So she's a hairstylist. And during the pandemic, you know, when everyone was having trouble cutting her hair, she was the one who would cut the hair for the team. They're coming up on, I think, a 4-year wedding anniversary, and they have a kid coming next month. I mean, yeah. That is a grown man. He has his stuff together better than you or I, man.
That would be true. That would be true, brought to you by Dish, is what that would be. The final highlight quickly is we go to Notre Dame men's lacrosse. Pat Cavanaugh with a move that I watched 6 or 7 times yesterday going, how did he do this? Just watch this and watch your jaw hit the ground. How did that go in?
Enter the Matrix.
Holy mackerel. This was nuts. Choo. What?
Here's the thing. He's been doing that every week. Like, his top 5 highlight reel right now is insane. Every week, Pat Cavanaugh does something that puts your jaw on the floor.
That was
every week.
That was incredible. Listen, we're done. We had 3 hours. They kick us out. That's how it works. I just want to tell you how much fun. I always love working with you. Don't touch the hair until it has to be done, all right? Just telling you. Don't touch the hair. It's all good. Thanks, Anish. Wes is in tomorrow. He'll be back.
Appreciate it.
Great job by the crew, the smart folks back in Bristol. Meg, Josh Drew, the back row, Mark Packer, Anish Shaw. Folks, enjoy your day. Catch you guys tomorrow morning right here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.